greatest book concerning the greatest event future.
And how do you do, my radio friends? From the indestructible and infallible Word of God in Isaiah 58:10. Isaiah 58:10. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail thee not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Now, when we look at this great prophecy in the book of Isaiah, we are thinking of the people of Israel. We are thinking of the seed of Abram, and therefore the prophet is writing concerning them and not concerning the Gentiles. He is not writing here concerning the New Testament church because it was not even yet born. There was no church in the Old Testament. The Jewish people, the people of Israel, were known as the congregation. They depended upon a system of sacrifices in which there was atonement made. Atonement was made by the shedding of blood. And the atonement was the kaphar, the K-A-P-H-A-R, which was a covering. Therefore their sins were covered in the sight of a righteous God by the atonement of the blood of the sacrifice upon the altar. Now there is no altar today. Some people talk about going to the altar and about having an altar in their church and all that kind of thing. There is no such thing as an altar today. The only altar relative to Christianity was the cross of Calvary. And Jesus Christ, the virgin-born, incarnate Son of God, died upon that final altar as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So therefore, the only altar which a Christian has is the altar of Calvary, the altar of Golgotha, upon which the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died as the incarnate one, the Lamb of God, the one who shed his blood for us. Now then, the Lord is telling us plainly here through Isaiah something concerning a certain people, the people of Israel. And he very clearly says in verse 10, following through in the 58th chapter, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness as the noonday. In other words, the former condition of darkness and obscurity will be removed by the great light which is going to rise. Now, Jesus said that he was the light of the world. And today, if any Jew believes upon Jesus as the light of the world, he will be lighted in his soul, in his heart. He will become a child of light, a son of light, a child of God. For the Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the authority, to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. No Jew, no Gentile is saved by doing good things, doing good works, or by being good. We are saved by what Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, did for us on the cross of Calvary, on that altar 2,000 years ago. So therefore, by the shedding of his blood, he put away sin and he put away its guilt. And when we receive him as Lord and Savior, we enter into that family of light, into that family which is the light of God. Now this promise is made to the people of Israel as the seed of Abram. And he is giving them this prophetic story when he says in verse 10, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Now let me ask you again. Do you think that this took place in the history of the nation Israel? If you have read anything of the Old Testament, and if you have read anything about the history of the Jewish people, you know very well that these things were not fulfilled then. Take verse 11, and it's in Isaiah 58. The Lord shall guide thee continually. Now, were those people, as the nation Israel, guided continually? No, they were not. Now, they could have been, if they had been willing to do the will of Jehovah, if they had been willing to do the will of God, if they had been willing to do the will of the Lord, and to keep His precepts, and to follow the sacrifices, and to do the things which He instructed them to do, they could have been guided continually by Him. But what did they do? They rebelled. They rebelled so many times against the will of God and the Word of God that they became known as the rebellious nation. Now there's a time coming when all of that is going to change. It did not change with the first coming of Christ as far as those people were concerned. The Jewish nation, the Jewish people, did not receive Jesus Christ as the Messiah at His first coming. The fact of the matter is they rejected Him as the Messiah, and they turned Him over to the Romans, and the Romans put Him to death on a cruel cross, but Jesus broke the bonds of death on the third day and said that later He would come back and He would be the King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, when you try by any manner or means to make the first coming of Jesus Christ the beginning of the kingdom, and when you try to make Him the Messiah, the King of Israel, at His first coming, people are just going to be laughing at you because the facts of history will not stand the test of any such talk as that. Now the Lord says, in verse 11 of Isaiah 58, the Lord shall guide thee continually. The Lord shall guide thee continually every day, every night, every week, every year of this future kingdom period when Israel is converted to Him, when Israel becomes His people again in the millennial kingdom, the future kingdom of 1,000 years on this earth. In that day, the Lord will guide them continually. And He said, I will satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. In other words, instead of a wilderness of desolation, it is going to be like the Garden of Eden for the people of Israel in the Holy Land. Now they have never in history occupied that land. There was a time in the Old Testament period when they occupied some part of it, but never have they occupied all of it. There shall be a time when the promised land will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. That will be after the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when He comes as King of kings and Lord of lords to reign upon this earth.
Dr. W. Norman Greenway has just brought a message sponsored by His Wonderful Word. Dr. Greenway's family would like to continue this broadcast on this station as funds are available. Please write to His Wonderful Word, Incorporated, Post Office Box 2222, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Ladies and gentlemen, please listen for the late Dr. W. Norman Greenway in his broadcast from the world's greatest book concerning the greatest event future.
Isaiah 58:12, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Here is a prophecy concerning the future of the people of Israel, concerning a time when everything of horror and everything of despair and everything of sorrow and sadness, as far as they are concerned, is going to be gone. It's going to be blotted out entirely. So therefore, it must be a time when there will be total righteousness upon the earth. It must be a time when the Word of God is having its total fulfillment as far as the people of Israel are concerned. Now, what time will that be? Well, the only possible time that this could have fulfillment will be in that future kingdom when the people are restored to the land. The Bible certainly teaches that the people of Israel shall be restored to the promised land, and this time will be at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not going to be during the period of the church, the New Testament church, in which we are now living. It is going to be after that period. It is going to be when that church period or that church era closes. And certainly the church era is coming to a close. We are not going on and on and on forever and ever as we are going on now. The church began with the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He told the apostles, "Upon this rock I will build my church, my ecclesia, my called out ones." And therefore the church is being built during these days in which we are living. Now you say, well, how is it being built? Well, every time any person anywhere, whether a Jew or a Gentile, believes the gospel that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, any time any Jew or Gentile believes that gospel and receives the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, he immediately is sealed by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is the entire New Testament church. The body of Christ is made up of every child of God everywhere in every generation of Christianity. It is made up of Jews who have believed upon Christ. It is made up of Gentiles who have believed upon Christ. So that all of the Jews and all of the Gentiles in this New Testament era who have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ have become the children of God, have become part of his body, which is his church. Now this is so clearly taught in the New Testament that you could not miss it if you just read the epistles. The trouble today is that so many people do not take time to read. They don't take time to do anything, it seems. They're running here and there and rushing about, accomplishing nothing when they should be studying and meditating upon and memorizing and absorbing the Word of God. Now, very clearly, there is a future time coming which is known as the kingdom. It is known as the millennium. The Lord Jesus said so, and the Lord Jesus used that word. In Revelation 20, the Lord Jesus called the thousand years. And that expression is made up from two Latin words, M-I-L-L-E, meaning a thousand, and annum, meaning a year. So Jesus said, for 1,000 years. He is going to reign upon this earth, and we, the church, the body of Christ, are going to reign upon this earth with him. Now, at the same time that we are reigning as the church with Christ, converted Israel is going to be reigning with him in the Holy Land, and the throne is going to be established there, and from the throne of David, righteousness shall permeate their kingdom. Now, at that time, we are going to see the fulfillment of Isaiah 58:11, where it says, "The Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." Now, if you know anything about the history of Israel at all, you know very well that Palestine was a wilderness practically for 2,000 years. ever since the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the destruction of Jerusalem in the year 70 AD and the scattering of the Jewish people to the four winds, ever since that time, Palestine, the Holy Land, has been a waste place. It has been a desolation. It has not been fit to live in, as it were, and it has been filled with all kinds of people, and no progress had been made. In fact, until 1918, there was hardly any movement at all in the land. In 1900, they put in a few thousand grapevines and things like that, but there was no big move until after World War I in 1918. But when the British Mandate gave Palestine to the Jewish people as a national homeland, stating in there that they were to have it as long as the rights of others were not interfered with, the land has boomed and bloomed and blossomed. And I think all of us know this, just from reading the newspapers and the periodicals. Now, many people have taken this movement since 1918 as the final fulfillment of prophecy when the Jewish people are going to possess the land. Now, that is not true. It is very easy to be mistaken about that, for the simple reason that when you see Jewish people going back to Palestine from all over the world, you say, well, this is certainly a tremendous movement. It is, no doubt about that. You say, this is the most remarkable thing. Yes, it certainly is, no doubt about that. But remember that the Arab people are also the sons of Abram. The Arabs are also the seed of Abram. But the covenant, the promise, was never made to Ishmael, the son of Abram, and the Arabs come from Ishmael. So therefore, throughout the ages of New Testament history, there has been a war going on between the Arabs and the Israelis. Since 1918, now that some Arabs have been moved out of the territory as a result of the Balfour Declaration, that war has developed and developed and developed until now. They are fighting one another and wanting to fight one another more. In fact, just recently, the head woman in Israel was in Washington trying to get more arms for these people because these battles are still looming ahead. Now the time is coming when he says the old waste places shall be builded, and foundations of many generations shall be raised up, and the restorer of the breach will be here. That will be the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you in your study of his wonderful word.
Dr. W. Norman Greenway has just brought a message sponsored by his wonderful word. Dr. Greenway's family would like to continue this broadcast on this station as funds are available. Please write to His Wonderful Word, Incorporated, Post Office Box 2222, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Ladies and gentlemen, please listen for the late Dr. W. Norman Greenway in his broadcast from the world's greatest book concerning the greatest event future.
We do, my radio friends, from the indestructible and infallible Word of God in Isaiah 58:14. Isaiah 58:14. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now here is a very definite prophecy, and we have been studying some in the great prophecies of Isaiah concerning the returning of the people known as the people of Israel as it relates to the returning of the Lord. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the people of Israel shall see him as the one who was delivered to the cross. It says in Revelation 1:7, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they which pierced him. And then the nations are going to mourn because of him. That means they're going to beat themselves in grief when they see heaven split open and opening all that brightness of glory to the earth. They are going to be afraid because they know that such an event could only be by the power of God. It will be the time of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he returns as the Messiah, as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Now in Isaiah 58, we have been reading some of these things concerning the future for Israel, and what the Lord is going to do at the time when they are restored. Verse 14 is one of them. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. You see, it's not now, because they, as a nation, and they as a people, are not delighting themselves in the Lord. In the Old Testament period, they did not all delight themselves in the Lord. And there were periods when the Lord had to deal very, very strongly with the entire nation because they had rebelled against him. However, there is a time coming when all of this shall be changed. There is a time coming when all things are going to be made new, and that includes the facts concerning Israel. So in verse 14 of Isaiah 58, he says, Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And the word Lord, you will notice there, is spelled with four capitals, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. That is the Lord Jehovah, the self-existent one who reveals himself. And it automatically becomes the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ himself was the one who revealed God to the world. He was God made flesh, as it were, in that great mystery of incarnation because of the virgin birth. So that God the Father was in him, and he was making reconciliation possible between the world and between the righteous Father. He did this by the shedding of his blood, by his death upon the cross, and by his resurrection the third day. Now in verse 14 of Isaiah 58, he says, Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. They will no longer be down in the valleys. They will no longer be down there in the dirt, as it were. They will be no longer down there in the low places. But because of the exaltation brought about by the return of the Messiah, they shall ride upon the high places of the earth, and he will feed them with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now there is the seal upon the prophecy. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. He has given his word. He has sealed it with his blood and with his spirit. I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. Thus there is a future time for the seed of Abram, a future time for this seed of David, a future time when there shall be glory instead of despair, when they shall be in the high places instead of the low places. And the Lord says, He has spoken it, and this time must come. Now connect that with Isaiah 59:20, and the Redeemer, capital R on this word, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Now notice to whom he is going to come. He is going to come to Zion unto a certain group. These who turn from transgression in Jacob or in Israel. Now you see, the Lord is not going to come to every Jew. There are people today, and I've mentioned it before, and they have the peculiar idea that just because a person is a Jew, he's a child of God. This is ridiculous. Nobody is a child of God by his nativity. Nobody is a child of God by his first birth. Whether he is Jew or Gentile, he is only a human being. The only way any person can become a child of God is by regeneration, by new birth, by cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit entering into the human heart. So therefore, at the time that Jesus Christ returns, the nation those in the nation who believe upon him shall become his, and they shall delight themselves in the Lord. And it says, the Lord has spoken this, it shall be so. And in 59:20 of Isaiah, the Redeemer shall come to Zion. That is Jerusalem and all of the land round about it. The Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. Now you see, God has a covenant with the seed of Abram. God has a covenant with Abram. And both of those words can be used, Abram or Abram. So therefore, some of the rabbis, they don't call themselves Abram. They call themselves Abram, but it's the same, A-B-R-A-M. So it depends on the pronunciation. So therefore, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. The Lord has a covenant with the seed. And the true seed is made up of those who believe his promises, those who are trusting him. So he said, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Now, did you ever study that verse or think about it? It's Isaiah 59:21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Now, that was never true in the history of Israel in the Old Testament. That was never true of the history of Israel at the first coming of Christ. That has never been true of the history of Israel in New Testament Christianity. So therefore, it must have its fulfillment in the future. So it shall be done. The Lord says, the words out of my mouth shall be fulfilled. So therefore, there is going to be a future time of blessing and joy and a future kingdom for the people of Israel. It will be at the second coming of Yeshua HaMashiach, the second coming of Jesus the Messiah. May the Lord bless you in your study of his wonderful word.
Dr. W. Norman Greenway has just brought a message sponsored by his wonderful word. Dr. Greenway's family would like to continue this broadcast on this station as funds are available. Please write to His Wonderful Word, Incorporated, Post Office Box 2222, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602.